Welcome. Let us begin this morning with words that call us into worship from Rebecca Parker. In the midst of a world marked by tragedy and beauty, there must be those who bear witness against unnecessary destruction and who, with faith, rise and lead in freedom with grace and power. There must be those who speak honestly and do not avoid seeing what must be seen of sorrow and outrage, of tenderness and wonder. There must be those whose grief troubles the water while their voices sing and speak refreshed worlds. There must be those whose exuberance rises with lovely energy that articulates earth's joys. There must be those who are restless for respectful and loving companionship among human beings, whose presence invites people to be themselves without fear. There must be those who gather with the congregation of remembrance and compassion, draw water from old wells, and walk the simple path of love for neighbor. And there must be communities of people who seek to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God, who call on the strength of soul force to heal, transform, and bless life. There must be religious witness. Well, good morning, everyone. I am Katie Kandarian Morris. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango. In these tender times where we are experiencing trauma and the hope of a new world, it feels good to be together, to respond to the world's heartache and change with our liberal religious values. Our determination to create and uphold community is essential in times of trouble and strife. As Unitarian Universalists, our radical roots and history, as self-motivated spiritual people who think for ourselves and recognize that personal experience influences our belief more than anything, the covenant we share gives rise to becoming people of love and trust. And great gratitude goes to you all today for contributing in your many ways to our Navajo Hopi supply drive that took place yesterday at the fellowship parking lot. If you arrived early, you saw some of those photos going by as we played our entering music. Yes, if it looked like cars were all the way down in front of Needham Elementary, they were. There were a lot of people. And this is a fabulous example of what we can do together.
You're invited to join with us together in saying aloud the words of affirmation, which you can see in the chat line. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve human need. For these high purposes do we unite in worship.
So let us move into an attitude of prayer with words from my colleague, Ellen Quadras. She has written a prayer for white people in the wake of George Floyd's death. Sheltered in our homes or going to work at risk for week after week after week, we're edgy, tired, a little raw. We are tender, vulnerable, open, a little more open than usual. Those of us who are white, who before might have been distracted, who before might have been too busy, who before might have been preoccupied with our lives are seeing the ways injustice has happened to people of color the same way again and again and again. Now we see, please may we see, may we not unsee, may we not get distracted, may we not turn away, may we see, really see. May we open, really open. May we accept the invitation to change, really change our minds, our hearts, our world. When we see calls to defund the police, when we see calls for reparations, when we hear follow our lead from people of color, may we listen, may we learn, may we be open. May we be open. Even if it means rethinking everything you thought you knew about the world. We stand together, all of us as humans, with an enormous opportunity to change one of the oldest injustices in history, to change everything. May we stay vulnerable. May we stay tender. May we take action. Eyes and hearts and minds open. Let us hold silence together for just a few moments. May it be so. Blessed be. And amen.
This morning, we have a reading by Robert Walsh, which is from a book called Noisy Stones, a meditation manual that's published by Skinner House Books. It's called Fault Line. Did you ever think there might be a fault line passing underneath your living room? A place in which your life is lived in meeting and in separating, wondering and telling, unaware that just beneath you is the unseen seam of great plates that strain through time, and that your life, already spilling over the brim, could be invaded, sent off in a new direction, turned aside by forces you were warned about, but not prepared for. Shells could be spilled out, the level floor set at an angle in some seconds shaking. You would have to take your losses, do whatever must be done next. When the great plates slip and the earth shivers and the flaw is seen to lie in what you trusted most, look not to more solidity, to weighty slabs of concrete poured or strength of cantilevered beam to save the fractured order. Trust the more tensile strands of love that bend and stretch to hold you in the web of life that's often torn, but always healing. There's your strength, the shifting plates, the restive earth, your room, your precious life. They all proceed from love, the ground on which we walk together.
Okay, so I love that beautiful reading, and now I'm going to tell you this little story. Three children were talking about their religions. I'm a Catholic, said one, and our symbol is the cross. I'm Jewish, said the second, and our symbol is the Star of David. The third child said, I'm a Unitarian Universalist, and our symbol is a candle in the cocktail glass. Okay, and I know you're all laughing. No, probably more like groaning. But sometimes it may seem accurate. But in the beautifully led UUA gathering a week ago that's available on our congregation's website, our president, the Reverend Susan Frederick Gray, lit the chalice, reminding us that the light of the Unitarian Universalist chalice is the light that burns in every human heart. The chalice bowl is the symbol of the community that holds us, and that the strength of the community makes that light strong. What a compelling way to symbolize who we are together. Last week here, I asked, what do we do here in Durango? What action or dedication makes sense for us in this time of national reckoning? What does our commitment to Unitarian Universalism require of us? Well, yesterday we held our Navajo Nation supply drive, and it brought in more than 200 cars. I think I heard it said 217. That's 217 cars, and many of those cars had more than one person in them. And cars were filled with food and household goods, and we gathered together in our cash bowl $1,800, and I think we received another $3,500 from another church in Durango that contributed also. Incredible. So today I'm asking again, what are we called to do? What is required of you? When I saw our people directing traffic with all the cars patiently lined up down the road to snake into our parking lot, our people happily unloading trunks, efficiently stacking toilet paper and ramen noodles, organizing bags full of Spam and Vienna sausage, working together, I began to see it in action. And then the work that we've done ahead of time to work in partnership with marginalized communities, taking the lead of folks with whom we build relationship, developing then mutual aid. In this case, in the Hopi and Navajo chapters who have been hit so hard by the pandemic. The diligent and creative work of our social justice teams have demonstrated love in action, have borne witness to Cornel West's words that justice is what love looks like in public. So I ask us to reflect today. After all that good work, let's reflect again that maybe the actions we have taken might lead us, might further open our heart, breaking open the moral authority that is formed by the chalice light and bowl working together. But even more so, because honestly, it is likely that we'll be under pandemic behavior for quite a while. And I believe that not only are we called to reflect and act, but to reinvent ourselves right now, to really examine our mission, not just our mission statement, which is to provide a home for liberal religion, spiritual growth, lifespan learning, and work for justice, but to consider if we have a larger mission, a vision for the future. Recall the covenant that we recite each week when we light the chalice, that of love, truth, and service. Really, why are we here right now? So that you don't have to wait until the end of this message, I won't be offering an answer today. I believe this is our work to do together, our ministry to share. The great plates have indeed shifted. and the shelves have spilled out, so that we take up our learning imperfectly, starting where you can, where your distress doesn't paralyze you. As the great rabbi said, it is not your duty to finish the work, but neither are you at liberty to neglect it. And like the story Sarah told of the woman who decided to wait for someone to bring her a fish, it just may not happen. Probably won't happen. We're going to have to serve others. Those with less capacity, those who have been wounded, will need to listen to discover the needs we haven't noticed. As a white, hetero, cis woman, I have acted out of old patterns. I need to build new ways. Let's say we have an opportunity to do race work. Taking a lesson from ring theory, and here's what that is, provide care in and seek care out. It works something like this. You draw a circle. In the center ring, put the name of the person at the center of the current trauma. So here's the example, Mary Lou's aneurysm. That's Mary Lou then at the center. Now draw a larger circle around the first one. That in that ring, put the name of the person next closest to the trauma. In the case of Mary Lou's aneurysm, that was Mary Lou's husband, Pat. Repeat the process as many times as you need to. In each larger ring, put the next closest people. Parents and children, before more distant relatives, intimate friends in smaller rings, less intimate friends in larger rings. When you're done, you have a kvetching order. You could even make your ring and tape it onto your refrigerator. And the rules. The person in the center ring can say anything she wants to anyone, anywhere. She can kvetch and she can complain and whine and moan and curse the heavens and say, life is unfair and why me? And that's the privilege of being in the center ring. Everyone else can say those things too, but only to people in the larger rings. Ring theory is a tool for relationship building and also a tool for growing spiritual maturity. It can answer the question, is it okay for white people to cry in race discussions? Answer, provide care in and seek care out. What is our call? I've been wondering about our practical ministry structure and activities. I'm hoping that we might look at all the things that we currently do and then think outside the box. How might we adapt our ministries or our activities while we are not able to be together the way that we always have? What brings us meaning when we are physically isolated? For example, how might we hold an art show with Native art when we won't be in the building? We had an exciting allyship event planned before that we had to close our doors. So I wonder, is there another way that we can support Native artists? How do we carry out the other ministries that we have? What do we simply need to let go of? And what discoveries might we make? There is word that COVID has only exacerbated a larger church trend, that declining church attendance has been intensifying for decades. And while we might be bucking that trend at our fellowship here in Durango, we have worked hard to be a congregation that continues to thrive while in the center of a pandemic and post-pandemic. In the new issue of UU World, the Reverend Karen Johnson said, "To connect online is a forced exercise in emergence, an opportunity to find people who need us." Okay, well, here's some emergence. Our colorful Christmas lights come on every night on the big tree on our corner at our congregation's property. What a beautiful beacon of love and acceptance. Rainbow lights every night. A couple weeks ago, I attended a collaboration session with some ministers from around the country. It was suggested that during this distressing time, we encourage our people to see ourselves as a movement. Maybe we partner with other UU congregations, share worship experiences together, share our staff to be able to offer more. We in Durango so often see ourselves as self-sufficient, out here as we are, so far away from other metro areas with other churches, but I have been intrigued. Sarah Sauter and I have been mulling over making connections with Los Alamos, with Santa Fe, Albuquerque. Could we be more interdependent? Or what if we did get out the vote work with UUs from Colorado churches our size, say like Boulder? We can grow solidarity however we link up together. My favorite poet, Marge Piercy, who hails from my hometown of Detroit, so yay, leads us through hard times in her poem, The Low Road. She urges, alone you can fight, you can refuse, you can take what revenge you can, but they roll over you. But two people fighting back to back can cut through a mob, a snake dancing file can break a cordon, an army can meet an army. It goes on, she cries, one at a time. It starts when you care to act, it starts when you do it again, and they said no. It starts when you say we and know who you mean, and each day you mean one more. 2 weeks from today, June 28th, we are all invited to join together other UUs from around the country as we worship all together at virtual General Assembly. This opportunity gives our UUFD worship team a shared day off from leading. So I hope you will join me at 8 a.m., or you can wait and gather later, attend later at the 11 a.m. service. There's going to be two services that day. It'll be posted on our congregation's website. What are we called to do? To gather and discern, trusting one another, deepening through our struggles, learning through our mistakes, making meaning through our entering, and recommitting to the more tensile strands of our covenant of love, truth, and service. Let's do this together. May it be so. Blessed be, and amen. Years ago, Wayne Arneson wrote a beautiful blessing for leave taking that's printed in our hymnal, and it feels so apropos for today. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard, the path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. Take courage, for deep down there is another truth. You are not alone. Amen. Blessed be.